Fourth Saturday in October, a huge one in the SEC, and it's not involving either Alabama or Georgia. Texas A&M hosting LSU. Texas A&M a 2.5-point favorite at home. And, gentlemen, this is a fascinating matchup. LSU has shown they can win shootouts or they can win close games. Texas A&M's offensive line, they're like one of the best offensive lines in the country. They're not letting opposing teams get to their quarterback. Something's got to give tomorrow. LSU can be very disruptive, too, as far as defensively speaking. This is going to be – that vibe at Kyle Field tomorrow night is going to be something. I would love to go to a game there.
Oh, I would, too. Texas A&M is very good up front on defense, too.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of guys coming off the edge that can get after you. And Nussmeier will – he'll throw it to you. So – you know, I just wonder if they can get enough pressure early, Mike, and maybe make him uncomfortable and get him throwing. If he can throw the ball to you a couple of times, if you're A&M, you might be set up to kind of really hammer down on them.
Yeah, you are. And honestly, both of these teams are very, very good, but have a little bit of inconsistent quarterback play. And Garrett Nussmeier he's been extremely good. Don't get me wrong. His ability to kind of throw it downfield and hit some of the longer plays and make explosives. But you're right. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. He's a little bit of like last year's Sam Howell for the Commanders, where it's like, dude, I'm going to get 400, but I'm going to give you one. Like, I'm going to give you one over the middle. Connor Wegman kind of the same way. Some weeks, Connor Wegman for Texas A&M looks like a Heisman candidate. And other weeks, it's like he just completely goes away and plays extremely inconsistently and makes some bad decisions. So this is kind of a show-me game. Like, if you want to prove that you're a top five caliber team after, you know, losses earlier in the year that both of these teams sustained out of conference, then show me, right? Show me that you've kind of improved as a team over the last few weeks and that you're ready to make your appearance in the SEC title game.
LSU's got to prove they can run the ball. And they haven't been really good in short yardage situations either, running the ball. I don't mean they can't, but that certainly hasn't emerged yet.
It's just so weird to me, the brand of LSU. The brand that LSU has been under Brian Kelly is so foreign, where they're throwing, it's like, we're going to score 40 points. I don't know how much we're going to run the ball, you know, if it's not the quarterback. The running backs seem like the last couple of years are kind of secondary, and we're also going to have a defense that's going to give up 40. Like, it just, like, when did that happen at LSU, man? Like, it just seems like that has completely flip-flopped from what it was 10 years ago when you had Leonard Fournette and he was going to run it down your throat and they were going to hold you to like 6 points.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole, I mean, everybody does it now. Like, the whole conference, the whole SEC plays defense and no one else does thing is kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah, it has.
Other than Georgia and Alabama to a lesser extent these days, and still at times, nobody plays defense really in the SEC. You go to the Big Ten, and I'm not a Big Ten guy, you know that, but they play a lot more. Their defenses have been better. You look at Iowa last year. Iowa had one of the best defenses in the country. And
They had to,
but it wasn't just because they played in the Big Ten, though. They had a good, you know, Penn State's got a pretty good defense this year. But it's just adapting to, you want to blame Lane Kiffin.
So
because when Lane Kiffin went to Alabama, it kind of made that switch where teams started scoring more points. I'm not blaming it all.
They were late to the party, though.
I know.
You're talking about Gus Malzahn going to Auburn and like all those other things.
But that's when it kind of transitioned. Florida's the same way. Florida and LSU used to be two of the best defensive teams year in and year out in the SEC and in the country. Neither one of them are anymore.
What was Gus Malzahn's big innovation? Remember, he was that high school coach. They won a bunch of state titles.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
You know what it was for me? You tell me what you think about this. I feel like he ran Paul Johnson's offense out of the shotgun with a little bit more throwing.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, back then, he wasn't a huge RPO guy until his time at head coach with Nick Marshall. Like, that was when really the RPO kind of thing kind of came out, where Nick would kind of throw it into the flat after running the zone read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throw it out to the wide receiver that was behind the line of scrimmage. The whole downfield RPO thing wasn't really much of his either. He was just an innovator in terms of, I think, to me anyways, north and south running game with guys like Kerryon Johnson. What was that, you know, 6-7 years ago at Auburn? And also ability to kind of throw it vertically. But again, I'm actually a bigger Gus Malzahn fan than I like to admit. He had some really good dudes running it. You know what I mean? Like, yep. That Auburn team that won in 2010, I don't know that I've ever seen one national championship team posted up by one player more than that team actually did. And they had, don't get me wrong, this is not a shot at Auburn. This is a compliment to Cam Newton and what he was able to do that year in terms of bringing that team back from some of the deficits they were facing, the Iron Bowl being one of them, Clemson being one of them that year. But Gus Malzahn kind of calling the plays and designing all that thing, it was just different back then, man. We actually, I remember playing Gus Malzahn when I was in college and he was at Arkansas and he had Mitch Mustaine was his high school quarterback.
I was about to say, that's the guy who we kind of piggybacked into the college ranks.
Yeah,
Mitch Mustaine just kind of disappeared into
the
security.
We lost to them that year in two overtimes. I think we missed five kicks that would have won the game. Five kicks.
Well, you look at, and I had to pull it up because I couldn't remember the running back's name that played on that Auburn team. But Michael Dyer,
yeah.
He was phenomenal. Yeah, he had a 1,000-yard rusher. You had a two-headed monster, to your point. And you also, remember, you had some good players on defense as well.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, that's what I said. This is not me saying anything about the other players on this team.
No,
this is me saying that Cam Newton, literally, it would be like, oh, they really need a big play right here. Stiff arm, roll out.
Yeah,
you know, juke somebody. Oh, I'm gonna outrun you. And it was like, oh my god.
Well, that the Alabama game was living proof of that.
Yeah.
They were down what, 21-0, and Cam put the team on his back
and
brought him back.
You got a schedule in front of you. I think they opened with Clemson that year, and I think it was a comeback win against Clemson, and it was something just unbelievable.
They played Clemson in the third game of the year.
Okay.
And they won 27-24. But they didn't have
to, something
they had to come back in that game though. But you go, Mike, to your point, you go look at a lot. They didn't blow a lot of people out. I mean, they won some close games against Miss State, South Carolina, Clemson, Kentucky. Arkansas was like a 100-something point game.
Yes.
65-43. They beat LSU by 7. I mean, they played a lot of close games. There were a lot of clutch moments.